First of all, I'll say thank you for asking me in, and thanks to Eamon for informing. I'm delighted to be here to tell some of what I call Orwell.
Oh, very good.
No, I was just explaining that a building that I worked in England way back in 1966, and it entailed doing night watchman. Now, the night watchman that was doing it for years, he came to me one day and he says, would you do the night watchman? Because I am leaving, he says, there's a ghost in the building. I cannot stand it any longer. So he explained it anyway. So I says, yeah, I'll take the 5 nights. It was 5 nights over Christmas. And what took place was there was 2 new elevators, you know, just after being constructed in the building. And at 12 o'clock at night, one of the elevators would start going up to the penthouse. There were 7 stories in the building. And it would up and down, stopping at each room and checking it out and that way. And that continued until exactly 6 o'clock in the morning. So I done 5 nights. I done Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night and Tuesday night with that. That's what I had an experience of. Now, there's several things in England, they say that there's a lot of spirits in old buildings and stuff like that. And I did explain, I know a cousin of mine, Father Tiernan, he told me that he was taken to a house one night, or maybe in the daytime, to read a mass to try and shift the spirit. And what happened there was the perspiration, I suppose, to make it right, came out of through him. It was so frightening, he says.
Oh, okay. God.
And when you were at work, Austin Francis, did you feel that there was a presence there? Or did you, like, were you afraid?
No. Not a bit ever. No. I had to sit in the room there next to where this was carrying on. And then I used to take, because as a night watchman, you had a clock on your, you know, and it was like a big belt around it. And there was how you check out the buildings. You'd go into each building and there was a key hanging on the back of the door and you'd put in the key into the clock and that gave evidence that you was in that room at such a time. Because, you know, there was a boss over you. They checked them things. Yes. But I used to do that. And
you didn't feel afraid?
Oh, I didn't feel afraid. And honestly, then I'd have to, you know, do all the buildings from the basement all the way to the top every so often. And at about 3 o'clock one morning, there was a chap trying to break in the front door. And all I had was a big flash lamp, I'd call it, you know, one of these big lamps. And he was at the door and I came up the back stairs anyways. And of course, I took a lander from him. He was at the door and I shone the light right into his face. And
he was gone.
He was gone. Oh, yeah, that was one experience. I was in another house. It was here in Ireland, to be quite honest with you. The furniture, now definitely I know the furniture used to move around. Okay. I was only a child at the time and I did sleep in that house. But definitely, the furniture used to move around. And then at night, you'd hear awful, awful noise in the roof and everything. But that was a haunted house.
And were
well.
You afraid oh in that house? So don't they say that if you're not afraid, it's a good spirit? Whereas if you are afraid, there's something bad in it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You know? No, no, I wasn't. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's an experience. Now, that's not like a thought up story.
I don't know. If that happened to me now, I would. I'd be afraid. I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
There was no mention of the fairies, no?
No. Yeah. And you mentioned
it was ghosts. It was ghosts. That's what they. Yeah, it was ghosts. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I remember talking about fairies. Do you remember, Austin, when I built the thatch cottage?
Yeah.
And a brother of Tom McCormick's died in America. And I went back to visit Tommy to sympathise. And Father Leo Moran was there, you know.
Yeah.
And Tommy said to him, did you see where Eamon built the house? And he said, where? And I said, exactly in the same place as the old house. And Father Leo said, oh, that's where the fairies were. And he went on to tell the story. And you could imagine Father Leo now telling a story, like, he told it so well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And everyone was standing up with their mouths open. And he went on to tell how this old man, he was from down our place, and he was visiting in Carrimore. And that time, they walked everywhere. And on his way back, when he came to, we'd say, where we were, it met a thunderstorm. And he went in round the back of the house to shelter. And that time, like this is hundreds of years ago, if it ever happened, you know?
Yes.
And that time, they had no glass in the window, because if you had glass in your window, you paid extra rent. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So they'd have a few windows with no glass in them. Yeah, so anyway, he was sheltered at this opening, like a window. And the next thing, this voice came through the hole. Will to Ray. And the ball, he was a ball man. His name was Ball, actually. And he didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything. And a few minutes later, same thing again. On Will to Ray. So, you could imagine Feather Leo when I was telling this story. He was brilliant. Like.
Good at Irish, too.
And, yeah. And Tom McCormick standing up with his mouth open, couldn't believe what he was hearing. the Lord have mercy on the two of them. So, anyway, at that, they handed him out a newborn baby. And you see, it used to be said that the fairies, you steal the babies.
Sorry, yeah. Through the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, changelings. Yeah.
The newborn baby. Yeah. Was handed out, and the ball man didn't know what to do, and he tried to shout them up in the house to wake them. They were still all asleep, and no matter what he'd done, he could not wake them because the fairies had a spell put on them.
Oh, you know? Gosh. Okay.
So anyway, he had no option but to bring the baby home. He lived just down the road. So anyway, the next morning...
Sorry, now, was this baby conscious? Like, was this baby alive?
Oh, this baby was as healthy as anything, yeah.
Okay.
Oh
my God. Needed milk. No,
he was a newborn baby. A newborn
okay,
baby.
Okay, okay.
Only a few hours old, maybe. You know?
Okay.
So anyway, as the story was told, the next morning, news came through that there was a new baby in the house and that he was dead.
Oh.
So your man smelt a rat straight away, you see? And he went up. He had the healthy baby below in his house. So he went up, and there was the baby overboard, dead in the house.
The baby was laid out in the house?
Yeah. So anyway, you have to remember now, it was the fairies that was at work.
Okay.
So, because these fairies used to steal babies.
Yeah, they were changelings.
This was the story.
Okay, okay.
So anyway, the bald man said to the old man of the house, gather up whatever sticks you can. And he says, I put down the biggest fire you can put down and have a big blaze going. So the man done what he was told, and there was a big blaze going up the chimney. He took the baby and he fired it into the fire.
The living one?
The baby that was laid out?
Oh, no, the baby that was dead.
Okay, that's okay.
And as soon as it hit the flames, he turned into a bohalan. The baby turned into a bohalan. The bohalan was... the old ragwort.
Yes. Right? Correct. Yes. Yes.
The ragwort was associated with the fairies.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the baby hit the flames, he turned into
a ragwort.
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 Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So yeah. Your man explained that he had the baby, went down and brought up the baby, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they all blamed it on the fairies.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Oh my God. What a strange
So that's a story about the fairy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was told about a story about the fairies as well.
Okay,
it's you know, in the olden days when you had no lorries or cars or anything like that, the people that had shops in the area, they had to go to Westport with their horse and cart to draw, we'd say, maybe the grocers or feeding stuffs or anything like that. But there's a place on the way home, anyways, it's in my own village. And there was a very, very big, like a sandpit or a brae or something. But when the horse beast, anyway, came to the bottom of the brae, we'd call it, like,
yeah,
she stopped and she wouldn't go any further. Mm. And, of course, they say that the horse beast will pick up, they have nearly as much intelligence as the human being, but they'll pick up whatever is going anyway. But the next thing, anyway, the man heard a voice saying, Korshisa.
What's that mean?
Put him down. Okay. You know, Corshisa. And these are supposed to be the fairies. And then after a while, anyway, another voice says, no, let him go. And the horse beast went on her way then. And it's amazing.
Well, the fairies were big stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it's amazing. I feed cattle in really in that area. And it's only about maybe a month ago. I was there now at... Sometimes I might feed them maybe at 5 o'clock in the evening. You know how the time has changed. And I was just caught one evening there. Anyway, they call it, we used to call it when I was a child, the clapholus.
Okay.
That's the evening, the day parting with the night, you know. And honest to God, I thought I could hear somebody talking to me around that day.
Stop.
Yeah, correct, no. Yeah. And I came
still
home.
Going on?
I came home and I was telling them in the house. And my wife says, why are you down there at that house?
Do you know there's a place down in Manown called Fairy Hill?
No.
No.
Where?
Do you know that?
Fairy. Why is it called Fairy Hill?
Fairy Hill. Well, obviously, there must have been fairies there.
And yeah. Where is it?
Do you know where the Banown River enters the sea?
Yes.
At the beach?
Yeah.
There.
Do you know where the Banown River goes into the sea? Down by down Banown. Mm-hmm. Well, just before you come to where the river comes into the sea, before you go down the beach, well, there's just up about 100 metres from that, there's a hill. And you might see it layers on it and layers and layers. Well, that's Fairy Hill.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You should be able that, really. Mm.
You should climb it.
No, thanks.
It's only a small climb. It's only a small hill.
But we get trapped there. Probably. Eh?
Something might happen to us.
Not at all.
How come there was so much talk years ago about fairies and nobody talks about them anymore?
Well, you see, since the electricity came in, I think that's put an end to everything. Fairies. Now, you take, for instance, I mentioned Jack of the Lantern. You didn't have heard of Jack of the Lantern. And like that time, we'll say you'd look out at night, you know, when there was no electricity in houses, just maybe a candle, you know, in the olden days, the people had only a stick of Bogdale shoved into the fire and a lighting, you know, to show them a bit of light. But the point about it was they might look out and they'd be, maybe they could see lights out in a field or somewhere like that. But as far as I'm aware, I think that was, you know, glowworm. Did you ever hear of glowworm?
Yeah.
You see, it's a sulfur that's on the ground, and that'd be, you know, going mad in the air. Now I remember working a night at the sea. We used to be breaking sea rods back at Clochwil there at Duchmacone.
Yeah.
And all the bank of seaweed, right, maybe for a mile long, but the whole bank. All night long. It was lovely. And you know, there were like little candles, you know. But if you went to take it in, there was nothing there, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Why were you at the beach at night?
Because, you see...
Tidal.
Well, tidal in one sense. But that time, you see, there was the port of Rack, we'd say, come in. The sea rods would come in. And the point about it is...
They could be gone tomorrow.
Well, it wasn't that, but... The first day, then, you see, you could mark, you'd mark the port and you could have that for working for the day then.
Okay.
And how you'd mark that is you'd get three sea rods and you'd put them across there and three there and you'd know your own mark where there was. And nobody could come inside that mark then. Oh, there was many a row for it as well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's the reason there were so many ghost stories.
Yeah.
Because of no electricity and they'd see shadows and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, there'd be a lantern in the house. That was the only light they had.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there was no...
Because nobody really talks about it anymore. And
I remember being up at my uncle's years ago. And we'd be frightened coming home. He'd be telling ghost stories.
Terrifying as children, yeah.
And, Timmy.
Yeah.
Oh, he was lethal.
Yeah, yeah.
Telling ghost stories. And you'd swear there was the truth. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was an old chap next to us there, and that's what he spent his lifetime at. You know, he'd be sitting around the fire and he'd have all the youngsters. Now, we'll say, you see, the point about it was, we'll say everybody nearly finished school at 13 or 14, or some of them maybe 12. And, you know, they were working on the farms and things like that. And then where did you go? You went visiting to the neighbour's house, and this old chap would be there. I remember being there with lads, you know, and they'd be there as Eamon says their mouth open and they were frightened to leave, and someone might have to leave them home. You know, and he got a great kick out of that.
Oh, there was something else. Mm-hmm. But Timmy used to tell the story about like that time they'd be in the bog, and when they saved the turf, they'd have to build a stack of turf along the roads, you know. And there was a loads of stacks of turf along the road. But this one neighbour in particular never went to the bog. And they knew he used to go around at night stealing the turf, you know. He'd take a few bags. But he'd do it nicely. He'd take a few bags from every stack. No one had noticed, you know.
Yeah.
So these two smart boys anyway decided they'd wait for him some night, you know. And they actually, in the stack of turf, they took out a section of it. And they even roofed it with timber. The way he could, your man could hide inside in the stack of turf.
Oh,
you see? Well, this happened. So anyway, it was a freezing mad night. Heavy frost. And your man landed it, and he was filling his turf away. And your man that was lying down in the stack of turf put out his hand. And he left it on the frosty grass for maybe 5 minutes, you know, until his hand was pure numb. So it was ice cold, his hand, you know. So as your man was filling the turf anyway, he stuck out his hand and he shook hands with him. You see? And your man thought it was the devil. And he fainted. Your man fainted out for the count. And he was out for about 5 minutes. And when he came to, he ran like hell down the road. But he never stole turf after that. But he was convinced that he was convinced that the devil, because he was the hand was ice cold. He was convinced it was the devil. It was.
Wow. Oh my God. Is there a piece of ground over at you, Auster Francis, that is there some strain when you go into this field? Does something happen when you go into the field? Is that over at you in Doug McKeown?
You get fair gorta, no?
Yeah.
You know, well, I know definitely back in the Duke that there is a fairy fort. Fairy fort.
Okay.
Oh, there is, yeah. There's a fairy fort up in the Duke there, yeah.
No, and then, of course, there's a good few of them around.
There's a big, they call it the Staka as well, a standing stone in that area as well. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Some old king probably was buried there or something like that.
Okay.
You know, but there is a fairy fort because I remember visiting it when I was maybe 10 or 11 years old.
I wonder what's the O'Malley.
But there's another story, and it's genuine too, where it's not too far away from me. There was an old house, and that was another house that was supposed to be haunted as well.
Okay.
And I know that definitely that the man and his wife, they had to leave it. They sold it out anyway, and the fella next door bought it. But I think he was the ghost maybe beforehand. But anyway, back in the 70s, we were putting in the group water scheme that I manage now.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine, it was one of those track machines. And I was standing right by my house anyways. And the foreman of the scheme, anyways, I was talking to him, and my late father, I think they're both passed away now anyway. So I says to the man, I says, that machine won't belong there now until he stopped, you know, working. And, of course, he looked at me, and he says, what are you on about, you know? And, well, I says, wait till you see now. And he drove across the road anyways, and he set up his track machine, and he just put out his arm right in front of the door of the old house, like sitting up. The water scheme was coming across that way. He put out the arm of the machine anyways, and as soon as ever he put out the arm of the machine to take the grab of the earth anyway, the machine broke in two and fell down in front of him.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's correct. Well, their man...
That was their ghost.
Yeah.
In Top McCall.
Yeah, and your
man just couldn't believe, like, how I could prophesy that he would... I said, no, didn't I tell you? I explained to him then. I said, that place was always noted for being haunted, you know, that there was a ghost there.
Right.
Wow.
Well.
Really, mm-hmm. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to finish up now, and we're going to actually, because I know you've more stories, we're going to actually bring you back at a later date. So thanks very much for coming this evening to join us.
Yeah, well,
and we'll have you back again then soon. Right. Thanks a million.